I'm continuing our theme of keep in step with the Spirit through the month of February, so I've selected another psalm that demonstrates the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to concentrate on that great work of the Spirit to intercede for us, enabling our prayers. So I'll be reading a portion of Psalm 102. I'll read verses 1 through 11 and give a brief meditation, especially pointing out the Spirit enabling us to pray. So Psalm 102, you can find that on page 689 in your Bibles. Prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness, I'm like an owl of the desert, I lay awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. The psalm goes on to meditate on the redemption that the Lord does give as he answers the psalmist's prayer. As I said, I want to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit that enables our prayers. You see that in verses 1 and 2 as the psalmist prays, and he asks God to hear his prayers. And I want to connect this with the New Testament right off the start so that you can see how the work of the Spirit is on display here. So listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 15. He says, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And then verses 26 and 27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Psalm 102 demonstrates this urgency in prayer. After crying out to God in verses 1 and 2, the following verses go on to describe in many poetic ways the desperation of the one who is crying out to God. So he describes himself, "My heart withers away like grass in the summer heat. I blow away like smoke. I'm lonely like a desert owl or a sparrow on the rooftop." Don't just breeze past these poetic descriptions. Let them be reflected in your own experience, in your own soul. Think about how urgent our prayers to God often come out of this type of trial and tribulation. Because the psalmist really does speak out of a very human experience. These are our experiences and our sufferings, are they not? He's speaking of our loneliness and our tears. But it also becomes clear that this psalm is speaking about Jesus, because he is the suffering servant. He is the one who has been despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He is one that has been surrounded by his enemies. And verse 8 kind of picks that up here in Psalm 102. The source of his troubles become evident. He describes the enemies all around him, and they have sworn to bring him down. So dark is the trouble that he thinks that God has forsaken him. And he says very directly, because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. Now, in our experience, that can be a very pressing need, isn't it? But think again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who did indeed suffer the wrath of God for us, who was forsaken, and upon whom the wrath of God fell. He is the one who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he did that because he became sin for us, so that he might be our Redeemer. From this, we can see that prayer is the cry of Christ, and this prayer especially is the cry of Christ. We can also see, though, that he is sustained by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that the Son cries out to the Father. We can even press this into all of Jesus' prayers, but think especially in the Garden of Gethsemane and the presence of the Spirit with the Son as he agonized over the coming cross and that forsaking that he would undergo. He did pray that the cup might pass from him out of the midst of that agony. But he also prayed that the Lord's will would be done, not his. And the Lord answered his prayer. He sustained him. He sustained him in that great atoning sacrifice and therefore exalted him in the resurrection and ascension. Prayer is your cry too, cry of the afflicted. And the Spirit does indeed help you in your weakness. Have you ever felt like grass withered away or smoke blowing in the wind? Have you found yourself so desperate, so crushed by that affliction that you don't even find words to express it? Well, you can know that God has given the Spirit to lead you along in your prayers, even with groanings that can't be expressed in words. The Spirit intercedes for you. And by the way, the Son intercedes for you too. An intercessor in heaven and an intercessor given in our hearts. And one more thing. Prayer is also the mark of the Spirit on you, the mark of your adoption. That's what Paul calls the Spirit of adoption. And what that means for our prayers is that when you cry out to God, you're not some cast-off stranger. You're his child, asking your Father for help. By the Spirit, he hears your prayers. By the Son, he hears your prayers. Father hears and answers. The joy it is to keep in step with the Spirit in our prayers, knowing that the Spirit enables us. So through this month, we'll be singing Psalm 102a. I invite you to turn there now. Make this your own prayer, your own praise. Psalm 102a, let's stand to sing.